Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple of years ago, I was leaving church on a Sunday, winter time. I remember that my daughter Miriam was at my side. We were walking down the driveway at church, just putting one foot in front of the other, sort of minding my own business. And then, without warning, my left foot hit a patch of completely invisible ice. My feet went completely out from under me, and I landed absolutely flat on my back with the wind knocked out. How long did that last? Oh, about 500 years. Maybe 7 seconds. But I can still remember it. You know, people hovered around me looking down, concerned. That really hurt. And I not only felt, but I was temporarily helpless. And I was really embarrassed. And there was absolutely nothing I could do except wait and see what happened. Needless to say, I recovered. Pretty unpleasant experience down there, flat on my back. Now let's take an experience like that and let's tweak it a little bit. What if that happened to you, but someone did it to you? I mean, on purpose. You're walking along minding your own business, and then when your foot hits the rug, they literally pull the rug out from under you, and down you go, flat on your back. It still hurts. You would still both be and feel helpless, embarrassed, but you'd know that someone had done that to you. Who would do such a thing? I'd like to introduce to you John the Baptist. Of course, we don't actually know what all those individuals were thinking, those inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judea, who responded to John's preaching and went out to be baptized. But John's message was clear. Israel is in danger. The people who should be the people of God are lost, and each one of you is minding your own business and walking your own way. And John comes to make your business his business. Repent, because the king is coming. Your business is the king's business. And if it's not, then there will be hell to pay. They didn't go out and clap. They didn't go out and marvel. They didn't go out and admire John. They did nothing but go out and, the text says, confess their sins. They were being baptized as they were confessing their sins. And I think it's not unlike having the rug pulled out from under you, and there you are, flat on your back. It hurts. It's embarrassing. You both feel and you are helpless. One minute, you're minding your own business, and the next minute, you realize that that's the problem. I have sinned. I have deceived myself. I have offended my God and hurt my neighbor, and all of a sudden, I can't breathe, and I have nothing to say, and I'm flat on my back. It was probably worst of all for the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were there. Ordinary Galilean first century peasants likely didn't have a lot of time and energy to think about these things a lot. But you see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, each group in their own quite different way, had made it their business to walk the walk, to walk in the way of Torah and to know where you should put your foot and how you should put it down and when you should do so. And John says to them, "You brood of vipers." Now, this lesson doesn't tell us if it worked with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Did John succeed in pulling the rug out from under them? We don't know, but if it did succeed, then they found themselves helpless and gasping for air. The collect for Advent 3 reads like this: Almighty God, through John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, you once proclaimed salvation. Now grant that we may know this salvation. Salvation from what? From my sins. From your sins. From the sins of walking our own way and minding our own business and putting our feet where we want them to go. Walking in a way of self-centeredness. My plans, my priorities, my vision, my ministry, my call, my career. Walking on a path of apathetic superficiality. Hey, how are you? Good to see you. Can't stop now. Gotta go. Got a lot to do. Hey, hope you don't bleed to death. But I'm kind of busy now. Hey, blessings. Blessings on that crisis you're going through right now. See you later. Walking in the way of coveting. Coveting my colleague's brain, coveting my neighbor's wife or husband, coveting my neighbor's finances or fill in the blank, just putting my foot down and walking that way. It is time again for us to repent that we may know this salvation from our sins. It hurts. It's embarrassing. It's actually real embarrassing that I am still that petty. It hurts to know that after all these years, I am still that greedy. You are still that lustful. That we are still that overconfident. It's like having the rug pulled out from under you, and there I am. I can't move. I can hardly breathe. I both feel and I am helpless. And the King is coming. The reign of God is near. And he is powerful. He is more powerful than you, literally, than you or I can imagine. I mean, really, compared to his power, you and I are like wheat or chaff. But what can we do? We could try to walk in our own way, but that way leads to death. The King is coming. Where is he? Where will we find him, especially after John the Baptist has pulled the rug out? And there I am again, helpless, flat on my back. Where is the King? Verse 13. Then Jesus appeared at the Jordan in order to be baptized by John. The King is right down there with you. The people came, and I imagine that they filled the waters of the Jordan, and they were down there doing one thing, confessing their sins, Matthew says, helpless, gasping, repenting. But then, they were not alone. They would never be alone. Because Jesus appeared at the Jordan, and he went down into the water where the sinners were. And now, in a way, John the Baptizer has the rug pulled out from under him, and I suppose we can enjoy that a little bit after what John has done to us. he says to Jesus, well, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. And Jesus says, now, John, allow it. This is the way now. This is the path now. This is where I will put my feet one at a time. This is where I will walk down to be with the sinners. The people were in the water, and Jesus went down into the water to be with the people, to be in the place of the people, to take the place of the people. And the Father sees it, and he is so pleased with his Son who has come to take the place of the people. He went down to be with you. His baptism is like a sign. It's like a big, flashing, neon sign. Servant! Substitute! It's so strange. The only people in this reading that Jesus is not close to are the people who stayed out of the water. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and anybody else that refused the message of John. They are the people who tragically manage to maintain their balance. And they don't fall flat. And they stay high and dry away from Jesus. Because Jesus is down in the water. He's in the place of sinners, right there with the helpless people. And after his baptism and after his temptation in the wilderness, Jesus' ministry opens up, and one foot at a time he walks the path appointed, and he heads toward the place of the sinners. He heads toward the cross and the deadly tomb. And there is the salvation that John once proclaimed. There is your salvation. Today, flat on your back, down on your knees, come to Jesus. He will meet you in the only place where he can actually be found, in your helplessness and in your need. He will meet you at this altar. He is there for you. He will always be there for you. Almighty God, through John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, you once proclaimed salvation. Now grant that we may know this salvation and serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.